Well, God's grace, peace, and mercy be to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. This is from the reading for today that I read from 1 Corinthians, the end of chapter 12 and the beginning, or I should say chapter 13. It goes this way. Earnestly desire the higher gifts, and I'll show you a more excellent way. If I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, if not love, I'm a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains, but have not love, I'm nothing. If I give away all that I have, and if I deliver up my body to be burned, but have not love, I gain nothing. Love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never ends. As for prophecies, they will pass away. As for tongues, they will cease. As for knowledge, it'll pass away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part, but when the perfect comes, the partial will pass away. When I was a child, I spoke like a child. I reasoned like a child. I thought like a child. When I became a man, I gave up childish ways. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I have been fully known. So now faith, hope, and love abide, these three, but the greatest of these is love. How many of you love that passage of the Bible? Is it one of your favorites? When do you normally hear it? It's normally read at a wedding. I mean, a lot of people choose this as their wedding passage. I don't know how many times I've used it as a wedding passage, a message to the bride and groom, but in reality, it wasn't meant to be that. I mean, it serves a good purpose for that, but wasn't meant to be really used as a marriage passage for pastors to be preaching about when a bride and groom make commitments to themselves lifelong to practice fidelity. It was actually meant for today. It actually was. It was meant to be preached today. In this situation, in this context, from me to you. Pastor to people. Person to person. That's what it was meant for. And so I've given a lot of thought, and I've made this message particularly personal. I'm going to share with you some things that you may not know about me. Because I think in doing so, I can best portray the actual message that God wants to bring to you. I want to first of all start by saying I have a brother and sister, or I had a brother, and I still have a sister, who are handicapped, special needs. Today we call them challenged. They suffer a somewhat rare genetic mutation called ataxia. The particular genetic mutation that occurred in just my family, of all things, has been called ataxia 13. My brother Mike, as you know, recently died. He stuttered. He sometimes threw really bad fits of rage. I don't know how many times he hit me with a shoe. He often fell. That was part of this. It affected that part of the brain, so he wasn't coordinated, and he would trip over a blade of grass, we would always say. His head was all beat up from falling. He never really made it past first grade, although one day we saw that he was writing his name and he was reading a little something out of the Bible. He taught himself to read and write. And he spent the last 20 years of his life in special homes because he couldn't eat any longer. He had to be fed with a tube, and he could no longer walk. His muscles wouldn't allow it. My sister isn't much different because she's still alive, except for one thing. When she was just barely two, she was burned in a horrific home fire. I was saved from the flames. My sister was not. She was burned over 80% of her body, and the constant loss of bodily fluids caused by the burns further affected her mental development at an extreme and important time in her life. Excuse me for looking down and reading so much. I'm trying to concentrate, not draw tears. So my sister grew up without the ability to really reason or make choices the way we do. She made some weird choices in life. And her sense of reasoning was so awkward, sometimes humorous. Amazingly, however, she learned to read and write, and she could even do a little math. She knew how many nickels and dimes she needed to buy a candy bar. I grew up in a crazy home. To this day, I don't know how my mom and dad did it. I have no idea. Because, you see, I have another brother who was valedictorian of his class of over 400 students. He was an athletic phenom. He held state records for quite a while in sprinting and in the long jump. He almost jumped 28 feet in the long jump. He held the record for the most yards in a football game rushed up until, I don't know, it was probably way late in the 80s or early 90s, 267 yards in one football game. Very gifted, and he was aware of it. He knew it. See, that's the issue. It's one thing to raise children that are handicapped, and then quite another to raise another one that's highly gifted. I witnessed it all. And then there was me, practically normal in every way. I know why you're laughing. As the youngest, I was left to fend for myself, and you could probably recognize why. I often went off on my own. But those were the 60s, remember? I would eat breakfast, go out and meet my friends at about 8, 8:30 or so in the morning on a Saturday. We would play at noon, go home and eat lunch, never telling mom or dad where we were. Then we would go out and we would play all afternoon. And then we would go in for supper. And then we would leave again and go until it got dark and then go home. The whole time, I don't think I ever once told my parents where I was. There was one rule, of course. Don't go down by the water. We lived by Lake Wausau. Don't go down by the water. You might drown. Of course, where did I go? That's where the frogs and toads and turtles were. So that's where I went. I don't know how my parents ever did it. They managed extreme handicapped children, extremely gifted children, and a black sheep. How did they do it? How did they put it all together? And looking back, I saw the issues and the problems, the joys and the sadness, the good times and the bad times. How'd they do it? Well, I think you know. Four-letter word begins with L and ends with E and has of in the middle. That's how they did it. To my parents, it didn't matter what we could do or what we couldn't do. It didn't matter. I'll never forget that night that my brother broke all those records for rushing. Ray Nitschke was at the game, and he came up to my parents. I was with him. And just praise. Ray Nitschke had a restaurant in Wausau. Did you know this? Yeah, way back when. And I was there, and I thought, oh, we're going to go home, and it's all going to be about my brother again. And, oh, boy. We got home. Pete, it's your turn to do the dishes. Get them done, please. That was the last we heard of it. It didn't matter if we were gifted or troubled or looking for love or in needing of love. Love mattered. There's this little story about my brother Mike, the firstborn. I just want to share with you really quickly. You see, after he was born, a couple days later, the doctor came in with a nurse, as my mom tells the story. My dad never told the story. My mom tells it now. I just learned it. Came in with my brother Mike and said, "Your son is retarded. There are places we can take him if you tell us to." My mom tells it this way. He was quick and clear. Didn't even ask me. Nope, he's my son. He's going home with us. Why would a father do such a thing? Tell me. Love. When you have love, I believe you can do just about anything. If you really have love in your heart, there are things you can endure that nobody else can. When you have love in your heart, you can say things other people wouldn't say. When you have love in your heart, you can believe things nobody else can believe. So Paul writes this, "Eagerly desire the better or higher gifts, and I'll show you a more excellent way." What's he talking about? Tell me. What's the higher, more excellent way? Is it speaking in tongues? No. Is it being a prophet? No. Is it being a preacher or teacher of the gospel? No. Is it having the gift of healing and wowing the crowds, being dynamic and really cool and amazing? No. What is it? Huey Lewis in the news, "The Power of Love." And so he says this, "Seek the greater, faith, hope, and love. Seek these, for these alone remain. The others will come and pass. They don't even give you fully what you need. What alone in its fullness gives you what you need but love? Nothing else is complete. Nothing else takes you to heaven. Nothing else gets you there and opens the door. Love." You know what? I really don't care if somebody says, "You know what? I have the gift of healing." And some, you know, they come up with these things and then they talk like they're something special. I don't care. you can tell me you have the gift of healing, I may say, okay. And that's about all I'll say. You know, forgive me for not getting all excited. But I know there's one thing you can't heal: getting old. And that's what I really want. I want you to heal me from getting old, because it's getting old that's creating this. You see what I'm saying? The gift of healing doesn't present you with heaven, doesn't present you with a right relationship with God, doesn't make you the person with the real message. Be aware of this, folks. When people come around saying, I can do this and I can do that, I have this gift or I have that gift, say, well, what about love? Do you possess what's most important? Love. So I did a little reading this last week, and because I've been getting deeper and deeper into this. What is it that the authorities and those who are the experts saying really makes a congregation truly a congregation where people want to be? By the way, it's not the music, and it's not the pastor, it's not the preaching and teaching, it's not the building, it's not the small groups. What is it? You know what they say? Authenticity is it. Authenticity is the number one thing that people refer to when they say, I want to go to church here, there, or wherever. Authenticity. That's just big language for what? Love. If you don't have true love, or you don't really have a caring love, do you think people can understand that, recognize that, and see it? Authenticity. If you don't have that, everything else doesn't mean a hill of beans. It's pretty plain. It's pretty simple. It's not rocket science. It's the same old that Paul had been preaching from the very beginning. It's all about the love that we have for one another that defines who we are in our community and the world. How we care about one another, how we love one another, how we talk about one another, how we deal with one another, not just here, but everywhere. How do you think people react when somebody takes somebody else and throws them under the bus? And they're a member of your church, and you're talking about church, and they hear this, and they witness that. Do you think people are going to say, I want to be there? They just threw one of their members under the bus. No, I don't want to be there. You know what Jesus said? No greater love is there than for a man to lay down his life for another. You know, folks, you don't have to hang on a cross. You don't have to die. That's a good thing. All you have to do is just shake down your pride a little bit. All God is really asking of you is some humility. Who really cares if somebody else drags you through the mud if it's not really honest? If you know better? What difference does it really make if somebody talks negative if you are positive? You see, you don't have to hang on a cross, but you can certainly stand up for Jesus in a very unique and wonderful way. Here's how Paul, by inspiration of the Holy Spirit, would say it: love never ends. As for prophecies, they'll pass away. As for tongues, they'll cease. As for knowledge, it'll be gone one day. We know in part, we prophesy in part, but when what's perfect comes, that all will pass away. By the way, perfection has come, lived among us, in all humility and in all passion, lived his life, even to the point of hanging on a cross. And when that perfect came and gave his life there, he transferred to us a special and wonderful ability to be able to care for one another. When I was a child, I spoke like a child, I thought like a child, I reasoned like a child, but when I became a man, when I finally grew up, I gave up childish ways. Yes, now I may see through a mirror dimly, but then face to face. That's the part. We're seeing face to face. We're dealing with one another face to face. We're honest, we're loving, we show care. So now these three remain, faith, hope, and love. But what's the greatest? Yeah, so good, it made some sense. I've told you about Orv before. Orv was a special man that came into my life back in the 80s while I was in school in Madison. Orv belonged to Lutheran Church of the Living Christ out in Madison on North Gammon Road. He joined there because it was a mission church, and he could use his special talent in a special way. He was a CPA and became treasurer of the congregation. That everybody knew. But that wasn't his real gift. Do you know what his real gift was? Driving a 1970 Chrysler Newport that was the size of half the Titanic. It was huge. I swear you could put my VW Beetle in the back trunk, you know, it was that big. Well, anyway, he would come into the university and he would pick up four or five of us every Sunday morning and take us out to church. I think I told you this, didn't I? Anyway, Orv then, after church, would bring us back, but on the way, he would stop and feed us, usually at Perkins, because it was right on the road. And so people ask me today, why did you join the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod? My answer is simple. Orv. Not really Orv, but love. Because he loved college students, and he found something he could do that he loved to do, and really nobody needed to know about it. And so one day I went into the pastor's office, and I said to him, I said, you know, we should do something special for Orv. He looked at me, and he said, well, you know, being on the board as the treasurer, we have a thank you dinner we do once every 3 years. And I said, no, that's not what I'm talking about. He said, what are you talking about? I said, Orv comes and gets us every Sunday and takes us to church and feeds us breakfast. He said, really? I said, yeah, really, he does this. And very rarely has any of us paid except for tip. I mean, we try, but he always says no. He says, I never knew that. He says, how long has he been doing that? I said, for over a year. I didn't know that. Do you get it? This is us. This is us taking who we are and who God has made us to be and setting us forward and getting the wheels moving in terms of love. It's not rocket science, folks. There's no special formula we're looking for. God's not sending down a bolt of lightning to zap us. He gave us just a simple message. Love one another. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Amen.